Well, I have got to say, I'm so proud of Laura and our kids' ministry and all that has been going on with that. To have that balance of activities for kids to do at home in the middle of every kid being homeschooled right now and being able to have quality content for parents to be able to take your kids through. And she's been working super hard to make all of that happen. Really, I've been proud of our whole staff team and all that they've been learning to be able to not just get through this season, but get through this season well. And we've hired two additional interns to help with some of that as we go back to now having live services here at the church. And so many awesome things that God has been doing and using this season through. Let me set up today in this message like this. Something that I think about quite often. There are some phrases in life that maybe when we think about it, we should just consider not saying them. Because if you really think about them, like, I'm a logical person, okay? But I'm very visual in my thought process. And so when you take logic and you take vision and you put them together, sometimes people will say things and it's like you can see it happening in your mind, and it gets really awkward. For example, anytime somebody says, he was running around like a chicken with his head cut off. Like, that's a weird visual, isn't it? And it's disturbing on so many levels, like not from an animal rights perspective, that's not me, but like from a visual perspective. Like, have you ever seen that? Like, some of you have probably seen that throughout your life on a regular basis, but a chicken running or flopping, like, they really do that. And I guess if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, it really is a similar comparison, right? A little less organized, but the same idea. And yeah, I've been ragging on the Minnesota Vikings a lot lately, and you're just going to have to bear with that if you're a Vikings fan. But this is such a disturbing visual, because when someone says that comparison, whatever it is that they are comparing it to, my mind goes there. My mind's not thinking about what it's representing. My mind is thinking about a chicken running around with no head, or the person that they're referencing running around with no head. Whatever it is, it's weird. This is another one. He kicked the bucket, right? Meaning he died. And I'm sure it originated somewhere, but I get thinking of like the visual of like kids running around in a room and there's a bucket on the ground, and of course one of them's gonna run up and kick it, and everybody else is like, no, don't kick the bucket, you know what that means, right? But there are some phrases that we should probably stop saying, but this is one that we can come across often and we mean it sincerely, but oftentimes it comes across as insincere. And it's the phrase, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And it's like, I can't make my car payment. Oh, don't worry about that. I can't make my house payment this month. Don't worry about that. I can't make my student loan payment. Don't worry about that, right? And I'm not sure if we're going to be able to make ends meet. Oh, you know what? Just don't worry about that. Just don't worry about that. And it's like we mean it to try and encourage people, but it comes across as extremely insensitive. Because worry and anxiety are two realities that we're dealing with all over the world right now. And statistics are all over the place right now. You can read in any publication, Christian publication, non-Christian publication, liberal, conservative, so many of them are saying the exact same thing, that the anxiety rate and the depression rate right now in America and across the whole world really has significantly increased over the past 8 weeks or so, where we're dealing with worry and we're dealing with anxiety really on a whole new level right now. I read a statistic the other day that said that depression medication sales have increased 35% in just the last month. Worry. It's something that so many of us are dealing with in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And so when somebody comes up, especially right now, and they say, you know what, don't worry about it. For a lot of people, just to be honest, it causes us to worry a little bit more, doesn't it? Because we're worried about the fact that we're worried, and then we're worried that we're worried that we're worried, and it's so compounded that, like, we can't even trace it back anymore. Now, I could go on and on and on about this, but there's a problem with even my mentality towards this. When I say, you know, don't worry about it, that we shouldn't say that, then when we go to the Gospels and we see Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 31, at the start of that verse, he says, so do not worry. And now he's talking about a certain context, but in this culture in which he's referring to, which he's instructing in this time period, some of us are going to see that. They're going to go, well, they didn't have COVID-19 back then. Yeah, well, you got a point. They also didn't have grocery stores, and they didn't have Taco John's, and they didn't have a lot of the things that we have today. They also didn't have cars. They didn't really have much for transportation at all. I mean, in this society in which Jesus is saying this to, people didn't even always know where their next meal was going to come from. And so Jesus is talking one day, and he's telling them, he says, so do not worry. And now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell us, when it comes to these four little words, Jesus said, so do not worry. I don't know if I'm there yet. I wish I could be. I wish I could look around at everything that's going on and be completely worry-free. And I wish that I could offer you today, by listening to this message, a worry-free guarantee. Like, pray this prayer and carry this mindset and walk backwards in a circle 7 times because it's a biblical number, then all of a sudden, all your worries are going to go away. But worry and anxiety are basically something that every single one of us is going to deal with. And worry and anxiety, they come from 3 major places. First of all, it comes from the past. The past. Every one of us. Every one of us. We all have that season that we just really wish that we could completely forget about, right? We just really wish that that one season in our life just didn't happen. For some of us, that season might be a little funnier than other people. Back in the early 90s, I can't even look at pictures of myself from that time period anymore, and I'll tell you why. There was a certain hairstyle that was common back in those days when I did have hair on my head. And back then, this hairstyle, I don't think it was called a mullet back then. I'm not sure what it was called, but that's what we call it now. Maybe we did. And if there was ever a such thing back in those days as a power mullet, that's the hairstyle that I had. And my mom cut my hair, and you really can't blame my mom for this because I forced her into this hairstyle on me. I forced her into my hairstyle. And so if she even thought about bringing those scissors anywhere near the back of my head, I was freaking out. And sometimes the pictures, they show up, and I'm just like, ew, get those away. Like, sometimes it was not much longer on the top than it is now, and in the back, it was just flowing. And, like, if it got wet, I could shake my hair, my head kind of like a dog, and it would whip me in the face, and I thought it was awesome. And I can still see it in my mind. I thought it was great, and it was so bad. And this is just a silly example, but the thing is, every single one of us, when we look over our past, there are things that a lot of us are going, man, I wish that thing that's in my past was, you know, just that, just an awkward mullet on my head, but it's something else. And we get the DVD going in our head, and it's on repeat, and it's just running over and over and over again. And when we think about the past, this is what we think when we look at that thing that we wish we never went through and we wish never happened, and we think, how could God love me? With all that I've done, how could God still love me? And I'm telling you that emotional and spiritual anxiety from things of the past, it can be absolutely crushing for so many people. I actually heard someone on a Facebook Live this week that said that one of the biggest things that causes anxiety is the belief that God is disappointed in them for whatever reason. And I'm guessing that there are some listening to this today. Maybe you think that God is disappointed in you because of your past. Or you believe that God will be disappointed in you if you, whatever it is, and you're conflicted, because not only does the past cause us anxiety, but the second thing is the present. That a lot of us, we have a lot of anxiety that we're dealing with even right now today. And I'm just going to say this, and I'll say it every single day, week, until things change. But the more television that you watch, let's just face it, the more anxious we're going to feel, right? Because when they lead in with how many people have died and how many people are currently ill and how many more people are probably going to be sick tomorrow, nobody's going to go, you know what? That is the best news ever. I'm so comforted by this. It's going to cause anxiety, right? And it's so different for so many of us. For some of us, it's anxiety that, oh man, my time is coming. I'm going to forget to use hand sanitizer one of these times, and I'm just going to get struck by the COVID. While others, it's the anxiety of like, you know, this whole thing is out of control. It's completely blown out of proportion, and everybody's just a bunch of sheep about to follow the government right off the cliff, right? And sometimes, regardless of what side of that spectrum we find ourselves on, the anxiety can hit when we least expect it. Like, there are people who are carrying around weight today. Like, am I going to have a job when this whole thing is over? Is the world ever going to be the same again? What is travel going to look? Are we ever going to be able to travel out of our country, out of our state even? What is my social life going to look like? Will things ever get to open again? Like, am I going to lose everything through all of this? And the reality is every single one of us is dealing with some sort of effect of this in some way, shape, or form. 2 weeks ago, I about found myself in my kitchen having a panic attack, and I'm still not quite sure how it happened. I was smoking a chuck roast. I know that was about to sound kind of weird right there, but I had a smoker in my backyard, and I was smoking a chuck roast, a cut of beef on this in my smoker, and it didn't quite come out right. Like, I spent 11 hours on this thing and it just wasn't progressing, and it like threw me into this fast downward spiral, and all the pressure of everything going on in life just hit me all at once on this Monday evening, and it was like every negative thought, the weight of the church and leadership and decisions that needed to be made, and I panicked. You know, not just over a smoked beef roast, but obviously that was just kind of the straw that broke the camel's back that day. But every single one of us, we're all dealing with worry in some way, shape, or form. And it's the past, it's the present, and then it's the third thing that causes a lot of worry, and that's the future. The future, just the thought about it sometimes. And did you know followers of Jesus if we're not careful, Christians can mess so many things up. Like, Christians can even mess up heaven when we really get going. Like, I'm kind of joking, but not really, though. I was at a youth camp when I first became a Christian, and when I first became a follower of Jesus, if there was, I went to everything with the word Christian in it. If there was some preaching, teaching, worship music playing, I was there. But I was at a camp, and this guy was on stage, and he starts off his message, his talk, and he goes, "Young people." Now, anytime someone starts with "young people," it's probably not going to go upward from there. Like, "young people," he goes, "let me tell you what heaven's going to be like." And he starts talking. He says, "when we all get to heaven, we're all going to go to a drive-in movie. And what we're going to watch at this drive-in movie is a film of your whole life." And I'm like, can we not watch that? Like, especially the season with the mullet, like, it'd be really good if we could just not watch this. And I freaked out about the idea of going to heaven. But I'm just saying that a lot of us, we really are worried about the future in some way. Like there are some people, every time that we do a salvation prayer, you pray it every single time. You know why? Because you're sure you lost it at some point the previous week. It's like, I was fine until my son left a mess, and then the next thing you know, I'm chewing my kid out, and don't judge me because you know you've been there too, right? And at least in your mind, and if not your kid, your spouse, if not your spouse, your dog, or if not your dog, the guy who cut you off in traffic the other day, right? All of us are worried in some way about the future, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, physically, economically. All of these things are some of the primary sources of anxiety and worry. And we look at these things, and we look at our families, and we look at our community around us. We look at our country. We look at our world. And we're like, I'm over this. Are we there yet? Like, when are we going to get through this? When is this going to be done? Like, can we just move on with life? How do we deal with this? For me, I keep going back to one verse of scripture. And normally when I'm giving a message, I'll put a big, like, God will put a big chunk of scripture on my heart, and we'll just go through that whole passage line by line. We're looking at what it originally meant then and what it could mean to us today. Or we'll have a topic and we'll look at what the scriptures say about this topic. We'll look at a bunch of verses that apply to that. Not today, okay? Today, we're going to look at one verse that God has just kept bringing me back to. And so this is a verse that through this whole season has brought me great comfort. It's also brought me a lot of frustration, to be completely honest. It was written by a guy named Peter. And Peter was a guy who was exceptionally close to Jesus, right? And he knew a thing or two about dealing with anxiety from some of the things that he saw, some of the things that he experienced. Like, this was a guy who was in the garden when Jesus got arrested and kind of lashed out in response. Like, I think he understands. And this is what he says later on after that fact in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. He says, "Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." See, I read this slowly because this verse is loaded. Cast all. Not some. Not a few things. Not when it's convenient and you've already turned to every other place in your life that you could have cast them. But cast all. You give it all. All your anxiety, he says, on him. Why? Why should we cast all our anxiety on him? Because he cares for you. Now, some of us, we don't cast our anxiety. We sort of carry it, right? We carry it. And somebody will ask us, you know, are you okay? What's going on? And it's just like, yeah, I'm fine. And the reality is, if I walked around all the time holding a football, eventually you're going to walk up to me and you're going to be like, hey man, I'm not judging, but why are you always carrying a football? And I'm going to be like, why are you judging me? Why aren't you carrying around a football? Why do you gotta worry about what I'm doing? And don't miss this. Some people actually find their identity in their anxiety. And it's true. Like some people find their identity in their anxiety, in their source of worry, in their depression, and the main words that we'll use to describe ourselves are anxious and depressed or something along those lines. The source of those things. And if that's what we're saying about ourselves all the time, that's what we're going to be. For years in my life, this was how I described myself. And listen, don't find your identity in your anxiety. Don't find your identity in your worry, in your sources of depression. Don't carry it around and just say, you know, this is who I am. It may be what happens to us, but it's not who I am. And I was talking with somebody the last week before we, you know, the last week that we were meeting together before everything seemed to get shut down, and we were talking, and the conclusion that we came to is the church needs to be the place that we can go, or the group that we can meet with, the people we can belong to, an experience that happens, however it happens, where when we leave, when it's done, we are glad that we met, we're glad that we went there, we feel better that we have gone there, we feel, you know, better after we leave than we did, and better after we leave it than we would have had we not gone there. Following me on this? And now some people will take shots at that and say, well, that's just a feel-good church. That's just more of an experience kind of a thing. Well, I'll just be real. I would rather be a feel-good church than a feel-bad church, because the last time I checked, the gospel is the good news, right? And so if people are not hearing the good news when they come to church, then what in the world is all of this for, right? And so I think that we should talk about the good news. And I think that people should walk out the doors feeling, yes, challenged, but encouraged also at the exact same time. And you know why some of us, we feel good on Sunday, but then Sunday night or Monday morning rolls around and we're freaked out? Because I think this is what we're doing with our anxiety. We're just kind of tossing it up. We're just kind of tossing it to God, but we're not casting it to Him. We don't cast it during church. We just kind of toss it to God just a little bit, but we don't really give it to Him, trusting that He can handle it, right? We just kind of, we release it for a few moments, and it comes back down, and we have it again. It's like we sing a worship song, and we forget about it a little bit, and then the song is done, and we're like, oh, and there it is again, you know, because I just kind of let it go for a little bit, but then there it is again. I just tossed it up, and it came back, right? And another reason that we don't cast our anxieties on God is because we're too busy casting it on other people. Now, you know who that is, right? The person who does that. You see them coming, and you're just like, okay, yeah, here it comes. They're going to dump it on me again. And if you're like, you know what? I don't know who that person would be in my life. Ding, ding, ding. It might be you. Nobody's telling you that, but it might be you, okay? So it's time for some reflection. But I'm not saying that we shouldn't talk to other people about our problems. We absolutely should. God uses real community like that. There is some definitely some good stuff. Like, I can talk to Pastor Matt about my problems. And then Pastor Matt can talk to me about his problems, and we're relating to each other a little bit, and we're exchanging our hurts and our difficulties and the things of life that are going on, and we're doing that. And I think God uses these situations. But then what happens with a lot of people is people keep on throwing stuff at you, and so before you know it, we've got our own problems that we have, right? And then you've got your kids' problems, and then you've got your friends' problems, and then you've got like multiple problems. And then we're kind of walking around trying to hold it all, and we're trying to show that, you know what, I can handle all of this stuff. I can handle everybody's garbage, and people are going to look at this and they're going to go, man, you're such a hero. And the reality is, this is not strong. This is really unwise. This is how I tried to live my life for years. Like, I can hold on to my garbage, and I can hold on to your garbage, and I can hold on to everybody's garbage, and then, hey, let's worship, and I'm holding on to all this stuff. I can't even hold my hands up in worship. It's just kind of like spirit fingers, right? And we're trying, but we can't let go of things, and it's all I got. And so instead of carrying all of this around, the Bible says to cast our anxiety. You know what happens when we cast? We throw it away, and it doesn't come back to us. And so we say, God, I'm gonna give you my worries. And we say, God, I'm gonna give you my fears. And we say, God, I'm gonna give you all of my anxieties. Why? Because it says that he cares for you. Now, let me tell you, some of us, maybe you, some of us listening today, we're not there yet, right? We're not there yet. Maybe you're kind of like me, and it's like, see, I don't have a hard time believing that God loves you. I sometimes have a hard time believing that God loves me. I think you know what I mean by that. And it's funny how God will talk to you sometimes, isn't it? It can be funny how God will show you things, and maybe things you're not even necessarily looking for. I'll explain it like this. There was a time that Jackson, my youngest son, and he was like barely walking at this point. He's just in that wobbly toddler stage, and we were playing at the playground one day, and he's just playing. And there was a little girl about his age that was also playing there, and so they found each other, and they're playing together, and eventually I figured out who her dad is. And so we're sitting there talking, and the little girl's dad looks at me, and he points at my son Jackson, and he goes, oh, what's her name? And I'm like, wait, did you just insult my son? Like that? Like, he just insulted my, what's her? I'm like, his name is Jackson. Like, I'm like, he's not even wearing, like, he's got short boy hair, he's got a blue shirt on with a monster truck on him. Like, his name is Jackson. That's why he has a boy haircut and why he is wearing the clothes that he's wearing. He is That's who his name is Jackson. I probably overreacted just a little bit. And later on, Jackson had no idea about any of this. But later on, I'm like, it's okay, buddy. Come here. I'm giving him like a little hug. I'm like, we know who you are. You just got misidentified. You're fine. And I just got thinking that day about how much I love my kids. It's crazy. Like looking back to when we had Jackson 6 years ago, and like we paid a lot of money for that process, right? We brought him home from the hospital, and he was really, really cute, and then we got the hospital bill, and then there were the poopy diapers, and then there was eventually the learning how to eat without getting 90% of the food all over himself and all over everything else. And but here's the deal. I absolutely love my kids. Like we've had to pay their bills, and we've taken care of them. We've fed them, and they have about driven us crazy more times than we can count. But I love my kids. Love them. Love them. Love them. Love them. And so I was thinking about that, and God spoke to my heart, and I felt like He was saying, "Why is it so hard for you to believe that I could love you unconditionally? If you can love a human toddler, why do you struggle so much to believe that I could love you, created in my image?" And it's a great question, isn't it? Super convicting when we really think about that. But I'll pose the same thing to you. Think about the person that you love the most. Why do you love that person? Is it because they're super perfect and they make all great decisions all the time? No, it's not. But God created you and me in His image. He doesn't want us to feel like we have to carry the all that anxiety around with us. That's not God's will for our lives. He wants us to cast it. And guess what? It's not just a one-time thing. Like, I wish that I could tell you, like, hey, if you just give your anxiety to God, if you just cast it on God right now, it's going to be fine. It's all going to be good. Your problems are just going to go away. But you know what? The enemy does everything he can to bring it back and remind you of it and kind of rub it in your face a little bit. And so we keep on casting. We say, God, I'm giving this to you. God, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving it. I want this done with. I'm giving it to you. I am not expecting to get this thing back in return. I'm giving this situation to you. I'm giving this job to you. I'm giving my home life to you. God, I'm giving my relationships to you. God, I'm giving it to you. And we continually surrender, continually. Because at the end of the day, He cares about you. I had a friend several years ago, and he asked me if we can go to lunch one day, and I was like, well, yeah, let's go to lunch. And we went to lunch, and we ordered our food, and before our food came, we sat down, we got talking, and I could tell something was really on his mind this day, and he says, Sean, I really feel like God wants me to tell you something. I really feel like I have something from the Lord that I am supposed to give to you. And now, this was the summer of 2016, and so it really wasn't that long ago. And I had been on staff at a church for about 6 years, and I found out that I wasn't going to be on that staff any longer. And it was an incredibly difficult spring ministry season. That spring, I had a former student that I was really close to that I lost. And he was on his way home on the morning of Mother's Day to see his mom, and he got in a car accident, and he didn't make it. And so there I'm spending that next week with his family, walking through this season with them and helping them face the reality of what life was going to be now. And then a week later, I get the news our staff structure at our church is going to change. And by the way, we don't have a place for you anymore. We're going to take your full-time position. We're going to turn it into 4 part-time positions. And I spent that summer absolutely in the dumps. And I'm like, I don't understand. This is my home church. Like, this is where I grew up. And if they don't want me, I don't know if I have what it takes. And my friend and I are meeting, and he leads in with, I've got a word from the Lord for you. And I'm sitting there, I'm not sure what he's getting at. And he goes, the Lord wanted me to let you know that you are his son, and with you he is well pleased. And I didn't know what to do with. I'm like, thank you for telling me that. I couldn't even get a word out. And he's like, I had read the verse where God says that about Jesus, and it was like God stopped me and said, you need to tell Sean this. And all sorts of emotions and reactions are going through my head at this moment. And I'm just like, well, I can see how he would have been pleased with me months ago when people are coming to know the Lord and people are serving on ministry teams that I led. And I could see how God would have been pleased with me then. But now? And he goes on, he says, well, that part you're going to have to figure out with God. But I just felt like that was what he wanted said to you. And so I took that word. And I went home. And it was just one of those things, I couldn't exactly shake this. And I opened up to that verse where God the Father is saying that about Jesus, that exact phrase, because it says in Matthew 3:17, it says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. And I got looking at this verse over and over and over again, and I'm researching the events around this verse, and you know what Jesus had done before God the Father said that about him? Nothing. Nothing. None of his ministry. He hadn't performed one miracle. He hadn't taught anyone anything yet. God the Father is declaring, Jesus, I love you. Not after Jesus does all these amazing things, but before. And so to the person today who thinks that you're a disappointment to God, here's what I want you to hear God say over you today. Whatever circumstances you find yourself in, whatever the season has brought to you, you are his child whom he loves, and with you he is well pleased. To the person who feels like God is perpetually disappointed in you, listen, God knew everything you were going to do in your entire life before you were ever born. And he went ahead and made you anyway and arranged for the payment of sins you haven't even committed yet. God is not done with you. You are his child. He has a plan for you to still use you and to use you for good things. And so, God, who made you, wants you to cast all your anxieties on him because he loves you, because he cares. So one of the things that I've been praying in this season of my life, and I know a lot of us have been praying, and I've been praying in this season of your life, but that I would believe the things that God says about me, and that you would believe the things that God says about you above all else. And so my prayer for us today in dealing with worry and dealing with anxiety and all these things is that we can literally pause where we're at and just let the Holy Spirit wash over our hearts and our minds so we can see who we are, not through our experiences, not even through our own eyes, but through heaven's eyes. Immersed in mercy, immersed in grace, his children whom he is well pleased, and we can cast our anxieties on him because he cares. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the way that you work, and I pray, Lord, that as we go about our lives and we go about this week that is in front of us, I pray that you would continue to work in and through us, Lord, that you'd be revealing more to us about who it is that you are and more to us about what it is that you have for our lives. And as we continue, Lord, in this posture of surrender that we started talking about last week, Lord, that though it can be difficult to look at what's going on in the world as we know it and somehow continue to maintain a godly perspective and focus through it all, Lord, we know that maintaining that godly focus is what it is that you're calling us to do. And so help us, Lord, to maintain, to fix our eyes on you, on the good that you're doing, and that the things that you want to do, rather than the negative and all the things that, you know, the media throws at us and everything else that we see when we're talking with people, all the ways that the enemy wants to take a hold of our heart and our mind, and the sly ways in which he does it. Lord, help us to recognize his attacks and to cling to you in those moments. Lord, let the work of the enemy drive us to your throne of grace. Lord, we know that he's crafty, but God, we declare today that you have already won. And so help us to see ourselves through your eyes. Lord, put in our minds the truth of your Holy Spirit. God, continually remind us day by day, moment by moment, who it is you are, what it is that you're doing in and through us, and what you want to do as we cast our anxieties on you, knowing that we know that we know that you care. And so, God, I thank you, Lord. I pray for anybody who may be struggling even right now to believe that, to declare that truth over their lives. Lord, I pray that you would show up in some way this week, Lord, with a reminder in the way that only you can do it of who you are. Lord, that you love them right where they are. Not that you love them for what they could do one day. You love them right now. And so, God, I pray that we would take that truth this week, that it would fuel us. We thank you and we love you. And we pray all these things in your Son's holy name. And all God's people everywhere said, amen. Listen, this week, things are continuing to change. And as things continue to open up, be watching on our Facebook page, on our website for any news updates on those fronts. And as always, if there's any way that we can serve you, any way that we can pray for you, you can direct all of that to prayer@crosspointnd.com, or you can email me personally at pastorshawn@crosspointnd.com. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.